Looking at Genesis chapter 20 this morning. We find Abraham having the wanderlust. And we find him moving again. Seems like Abraham moved several times. But he moved from a place that he had lived for nearly 25 years. He had been living in the plains of Mamre, which was known as Hebron. And Hebron is a place where the city of David was. And also Hebron was known as a place of fellowship. So we find Abraham leaving a place of fellowship, a place where he had encountered the Lord several times. And so we find Abraham moving from thence toward the south country in Genesis chapter 20 verse 1, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. The first time that Abraham moved was in Genesis chapter 12, that is, after he was in the land. Of course, Abraham moved from the Ur of the Chaldees into the land. But in Genesis chapter 12, verses 8 to 9, it says, "And he moved from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel," which means the house of God, "and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east." The word Hai, or Ai, as it is translated, or in Joshua, means ruin. So we find Abraham dwelling between the house of God and ruin. And he built an altar there. This altar was built between two cities. We find Abraham living in the middle of the road. He made no decision for ruin, and he made no decision to move into Bethel. And this is part of Abraham's problem, is that he was on the fence. And being on the fence, he was not committed to the house of God, neither was he committed to being in a place of ruin either. And sitting on the fence in chapter 13, in verse 3, it says he went on his journey from south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. He went down into Egypt and he committed the same sins that he was committing when he moved to Gerar. In other words, he was telling Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister, and the Pharaoh took Sarah and was going to make him one of his wives. Yet after being in trouble down in Egypt, when he came back, he did not make any decisions to move either left or right. He went right back to the middle of the road in between Bethel and Ai after he left Egypt. And then in chapter 13 and verse 18, it says, "Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron," which means fellowship, "and built there an altar unto the Lord." I happened to see a picture, or happened to have a picture of the supposed oak of Mamre, and it's got barbed wire around it and steel fence around it. This big old oak tree, and it's got a tent under it. But it's kind of interesting how that I'm sure everybody be out there chipping bark off of that, chipping bark off of that tree. But anyway. It was interesting to see that, a picture of that. Anyway, Abraham was still in the middle of the road when he was at between Bethel and Ai, and then he moved to a place where he could have fellowship. In this place of fellowship, we find Abraham having victory over the kings of Chedorlaomer when he slaughtered them. And then he also received the blessing of Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14, 18. And then in Genesis chapter 15, 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Abraham was having good fellowship in Mamre. This was a place of victory. He was victorious over his enemies. He rescued his nephew Lot and his families. And then we find Abraham breaking fellowship, even in a place of fellowship. Because in chapter 16, we find Abraham putting feet to his prayers. Abraham and Sarah both. And Sarah said, "Look, we're not having children. Let's have some with a handmaid." And of course, we know that he put feet to his prayers and he created problems for himself. And the Lord intervened in chapter 17. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." Restored fellowship. One of the things that I learned from this is this. God is interested in having fellowship with His children. We don't see Abraham making any inroads to have fellowship with the Lord. It's just the Lord said, "You've been running long enough, it's time to stop." And the Lord moved in and He began to have fellowship with Abraham again. Then in chapter 18 we find the Lord appearing unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre in the heat of the day in the tent, at the tent door. And of course Abraham had fellowship around the table. He had fellowship with the Lord in prayer in chapter 18. And he had fellowship in the truth. Because the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I'm about to do?" And of course he did not. Then we find again Abraham moving from a place of fellowship to Gerar. Gerar is a Philistine, is in the area of the Philistine. It is south. Again, when Abraham moved from Bethel, from where he was close to Bethel, he moved south. And then, of course, he kept on going on into Egypt. But here we find Abraham moving south again. And he was moving close to the enemy. You remember what happened to Lot when he moved away from Abraham and he moved down to the plains of the Jordan River that were well watered. And next thing you know, we find Lot in the cities, and then we find Lot in the politics, and then we find Lot's ministry ruined, his testimony shot. And that's what can happen to a child of God. No ministry, no testimony, accomplishing little or nothing in whatever is being endeavored. So we find Abraham moving away. In Genesis 12:9, it says, "Abraham journeyed going on still toward the south." Same as before, because Abraham moved to the south country. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse 2, it says, "Abraham said of Sarah his wife, 'She is my sister.' And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah." You know, if we don't deal with sin in our life decisively, it's going to come and bite us again. You have to not only confess the sin, but you have to forsake it. And obviously this sin did not even really end here. Because Abraham's son did the same thing that his dad did, his dad's mother did. He said that my wife is my sister. So we don't have any record of them doing it again, but it may have happened, or at least they talked about it, so that Isaac learned what to do when he wanted to be safe rather than be right. There's a difference between being right in the Lord and then being safe by lying about something. Abraham was afraid. We don't have to be afraid. We can be confident in the Lord. The Lord intervenes. The Lord intervened in the life of Abraham, gave him victory, gave him fellowship when Abraham really didn't deserve it. And He does that for us as well. Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech took Sarah. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 13, we find that Sarah and Abraham had a little plan that they even had before they got over into the land of Canaan. Say, I pray thee that thou art my sister, that I may dwell with thee for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. That's just simply trusting and scheming rather than trusting in the Lord. That's living by sight and not by faith. Abraham forgot some things. And we do it too. In Genesis 15:4 it says, And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Abraham knew that he and Sarah were going to bear children. God told him that. And he didn't have to be afraid to tell Pharaoh or Abimelech that this woman is my wife. But instead, he says, she's my sister, what Satan is doing, as soon as Satan found out what was going to happen, Satan tried to thwart the plan of God. Because the Messiah was going to come through Sarah. And so here is Satan stirring up the lust of Abimelech and says, I'm going to take that old lady, a good looking old lady, because she was an old lady. And in those days, you took a lady into your harem, or you married a woman for the purpose of what? Bearing children. The culture was that of bearing children. And so Abraham's wife, Sarah, looked young enough that she could bear children, even though she was past the time for bearing of children. Another interesting thing is this. From the time that Abraham left Mamre till he got down to Gerar, we're only talking about 1 year or less, really. Because it was 1 year after that that Isaac was born. So we're talking about a very short period of time. It's just amazing how things can get out of hand so quickly in our life and out of control. And I'll say this, Abimelech took over and Abraham had nothing. He could say nothing. He could do nothing because he would have to admit that he was a liar. And Abraham, nobody wants to admit that they are liars. But anyway, Abraham forgot the promise that God made to him. Abraham forgot the covenant that God made with him in chapter 17. He said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed. Abraham didn't have to be afraid. He could be confident because God said you would have a seed and that the covenant is established with you and your seed forever or for in their generations for an everlasting covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. Another thing that Abraham forgot was in chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Abraham and Sarah forgot that. He didn't have to tell her or tell Abimelech that this is my sister. He just needs to remember the Word of God. We need to remember the Word of God. It's the Word of God that keeps us under control. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation and the fear of the Lord thy treasure. Isaiah 33:6. What is it? Wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom of who? Wisdom of the Lord, and the knowledge of the Lord is going to provide us with stability. And we need stability. And we need the fear of the Lord and not the fear of man. Abraham was afraid of Abimelech. And I'm just thinking now, why should Abraham be afraid of Abimelech when he whipped up on all the kings of Chedorlaomer and defeated them and slaughtered them, 25 years before? Maybe he lost all of his servants. I don't know. But anyway, you just think about what Abraham had at his disposal, and why should he be afraid? Now, one of the things that happen when you start compromising and fidgeting over what the Lord has done for you, you're going to lose some things. And Abraham lost some things. He lost his ministry. In verse 3 of Genesis 20, it says, But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, Behold, thou art a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. I thought it was very interesting the Lord was not using Abraham's name. He says, that woman is a man's wife. And he didn't even use Sarah's name. Abimelech and the Lord knew what they were talking about. Abimelech knew what the Lord was talking about. But I was just thinking, the Lord wasn't very personal about Abraham. He didn't use this, hey, you've got Abraham, my friend's wife, Sarah. He didn't say all that. He says, you've got a man's wife, and you better turn her loose now. You know what Abraham was supposed to be? He was supposed to be a blessing. That stopped, didn't it? In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, he says, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'll tell you, Abraham was not a blessing to Abimelech. He was a troublemaker. Abimelech was a just man. And I believe that, personally, I believe that Abimelech was a saved man. He was just like Lot. He was just. And the fear of the Lord was in that place. Abimelech and his nation feared God, just like the nation of Nineveh, who repented under the preaching of Jonah. Abimelech was just. Was Abraham just? No, not at that time. He wasn't. He was not completely above board with Abimelech, with his wife, or those around him. Abimelech had integrity. In Genesis 20, verse 5, he said, Not unto me, she is my sister, and she... Now this time, Sarah had to get into the act to convince Abimelech that they were just brothers and sisters. Before, it wasn't Sarah involved, it was just Abraham. That's down in Pharaoh's court. But she said, hey, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands, I have done this. Abraham lost his integrity, didn't he? What a sad case it is when a child of God loses his integrity. No innocency. Guilty. Abraham was guilty. And now Abimelech was finding it out. And we find God intervening. I'm just so thankful that those whom He has chosen, He guards and protects. And He intervened on the behalf of Abraham. In verse 7 of chapter 20, it says, And now therefore the man his wife, therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. I wondered to myself, did that stick in the throat of the Lord? When he told Abimelech he's a prophet? You know, I could just hear God coughing. He isn't acting like a prophet, is he? Not at all. But anyway, he doesn't say it's stuck in his throat. But and he prayed, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. If thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. God intervened. And the fear of the Lord was in that place, and Abimelech acted immediately. Verse 9, it says, And Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that oughtest not to be done. Abraham was caught. And Abraham was found out. And Abraham was a troublemaker in the kingdom of Gerar. As I reflect upon the lives of other men of God, like David, like Jonah, like Peter, these men also were men of God, prophets. Yes, they caused trouble. I included Achan as well. Achan was not a prophet, but he caused trouble in the family. I've been reading about David in Chronicles, and And of course, I'm familiar with some of the stories. My heart just sinks when I read about how that Satan caused David to number the children of Israel. Satan put him up to it. David wouldn't listen to the counsel of his men. He just overrode their counsel and he said, "We're numbering the children of Israel, period." And when I read in 1 Chronicles 21:14, "So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men." The responsibility of 70,000 men perishing because of the behavior of one individual out of the will of God. And then we look in the life of Achan. Achan was part of the army of the Lord. "We're still having service, sir. If you will just sit down and wait, we'll be done for in a little while, okay?" "Well, you can sit down and wait till we're done, okay?" "It's over in 10 minutes. "Okay, that's fine." Achan troubled Israel by stealing that which belongs to the Lord, taking what belongs to God and keeping it for himself, caused men to perish and the armies of Israel to be defeated. We don't live to ourselves. The greater the responsibility, the greater the difficulties or the troubles that are being made. And 36 people were killed because of Achan's sin. And the armies of Israel were put to flight. In Joshua 7:25, and Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." Jonah troubled the mariners. Here is Jonah running from the Lord. He jumps, he pays his passage on the ship. So the mariners made a little profit on the passage on the ship until he got out to sea. And you know what happened? They had to throw everything overboard because of who? Jonah. The mariners had to throw everything overboard. They lost their... they probably still had his money, but they lost the main part of their livelihood by throwing out the cargo. And in Jonah chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "Why hast thou done this?" Same question that Abimelech asked Abraham. "Why have you done this to us?" "For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord." And of course they threw him in. Threw him over the side. Even Peter troubled the church at Galatia. But when Peter was come to Antioch, it was Antioch, and it was in the book of Galatians. He says, "I withstood him face to face." This is Paul saying, "because he was to blame. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Notice it was the fear. Fear of whom? The big shots in Jerusalem. James. And it caused Peter to do something that he knew wasn't right. He was having fellowship with the Gentiles and enjoying it. And he knew that the Gentiles were being blessed just like the nation of Israel was. But when the big shots from Jerusalem came down, he switched hats, if you please. He pulled himself away from the Gentiles that he was enjoying and having fellowship with and separated himself. And you know what? It not only affected him, but it affected others as well. It affected Barnabas. It says in verse 13, "And other Jews dissimulated likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." Barnabas was sucked away and in the era of Peter. It's important how you and I live today. We're either blessings or we are problems. We're either going to have a ministry and a testimony or we're not. And what a shame it is for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Word to cause trouble, not just for the saved, but for the lost. For the enemy. And that can happen. And we just need to bring our thoughts into captivity so that we do not behave as Abraham behaved. We don't need to be parking our tent in the middle of the road. We need to move to the house of God and make some decisive decisions that, as far as me and my house is concerned, we're going to do what? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to put Him first. We're not going to be afraid of friend or family or foe. God is my shield. God is my strength and power, and He is the one who makes my way perfect. May the Lord help us to take the counsel that we have gotten out of Genesis chapter 20 and not make the same mistakes. One thing that I can say is this: take heed lest you fall. When you think you stand, that's the time you're going to fall, and it can happen quickly. May the Lord help us not to be caught unawares. Father, we do pray that You would bless the Word that we have looked at this morning to each of us. We do pray, Lord, You'd help us to apply it in our lives. We pray, Father, that You would help us and bless us in dealing with this fellow who came in just a while ago into the service. We pray for wisdom. We again thank You for Your presence with us this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.